Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day, listeners, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. I'm John Crockett, and today we are talking our Round 7, Top 5, waiver wire pickups, Statesman skippers, and some trade talk. And as always, we welcome you, Stevie Fizz. How you doing, pal?
I'm doing all right, Jono. G'day, listeners. Do you think if Ben Dixon was a fertility consultant, you'd end up with a vasectomy? That's how well the Saints' goal-kicking is going this year. When you announce you have a specialty coach and big talker, he really needs to produce the goods. And Jack Billings is just breaking some people's hearts out there. Jono, I know you're a Jack Billings owner. Can't be good.
Yeah, look, I was trying to wheel and deal a trade for him this week, actually, in our home league. There was an inquiry about him, so it was Jack Billings and Finn Layson. I was trying to snag Josh Kelly, but it didn't quite work out.
What do you think?
The person who had Josh Kelly was open to talk about it. So
really?
The offer there.
I might have to talk to that certain person.
So I'll try and think of something else and might be able to get him.
Yeah, I think
maybe Lloyd.
Offering something that didn't just come straight out of the pool would help, but anyway.
92 averaging defender and whatever the hell Billings is averaging these days. My God.
Well, yeah. Not good. Not good at all. But I've spent the week without a phone. I broke my phone and I've got to say, it's been a good week.
I reckon it would be.
Bloody fantastic, this no phone life.
You've been had the week off too, just smashing cans, watching the draft with your cigar.
Well, actually, yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
well,
that
was
80s.
Good. But unfortunately, baby Fizz was sick, so she didn't go to daycare, so all this free time where I was going to be sitting in front of the computer checking out all the latest Dutch porn has just evaporated into me holding the baby. Not a metaphor.
Not good at all. And we welcome to you, the Statesman. How are you traveling, pal?
Enjoyed my weekend. Hello to all the listeners. I've been busy away with work. I've only just come back to Hobart, and first thing I've done is pour a Ninth Island Pinot. So it's only a couple of hours ago I've been back. So it surprised me. I had no time to concentrate on my teams, and I won all matchups. There you go. Less interference means better results. Plus, I need to thank you both. Although I try not to listen to you when you blokes talk super coach, because who understands that game? And when you both got really close matchups this weekend, you go, oh, it's all about the scaling. No, it shouldn't be all about the scaling. But anyway, I must be still learning from you, because I'm currently in the top 700 in Supercoach. Now, who would have thought that? So, still nowhere near my AFL fantasy or real dream team rankings, but still much improved. So, I want to thank you both for educating and giving an old dog some new tricks. So, thank you very much.
And that's what we're here for, to give everyone, including people on the show, tips and tricks and how to improve their fantasy teams.
I just want to talk about Supercoach. Did anyone find it weird that Richmond beat Collingwood by 7 goals and as a team got outscored by 170 Supercoach points? Well, isn't Supercoach meant to be a reflection of the game?
Yes, but you're talking about the game that you guys don't understand, so why ask us?
My question. How is Jeremy Howe on 100 Supercoach points at half time only to score 140? And the ball was coming down there in the second half.
Just about killed himself in a marking attempt.
But there is some injury news coming out of this weekend. Probably the biggest one was Chad Wingard coming off with that hammy injury. Steve, you did say to get rid of him at least a couple of weeks ago, and now the hammy's gone ping. He has had soft tissue injuries before and still waiting on the reports on how bad that one is. Tex Walker, who I'm actually disappointed he came off injured, came off with hammy awareness. So his hammy must be talking to him saying, hey, I'm here, but he came off for the second half. But he's got some pretty good plus matchups in the next couple of weeks. They had the Gold Coast on the weekend. They got the Blues as well. And I think the Saints in the next couple of weeks. So hopefully he doesn't miss any games because he's got some plus matchups there. James Ashu, funnily enough, was actually been producing some pretty good fantasy scores the last couple of weeks. He went off with a knee injury. Still waiting to hear that. And Michael Walters, I didn't see it, but I think it was the first quarter he's gone off with a knee injury. So, again, still waiting on the report there for Michael Walters. And if you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors and at Statesman33. Check out the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. We've got articles dropping Monday to Friday with our new additional writers with Sam Porter and Cameron Downing as well. But Steve, we've got the T-shirts, the merch. The Draft Doctors have some merch up coming up on the website. We've got T-shirts there in small, medium, large, extra large for now. Sorry if you are that double XL.
No, we've got the double XL. We've got it.
Oh, we've got the double XL. But if you're a triple XL, I'm sorry. $22. That is postage included in that. So that will be going up on the website probably tomorrow once I get around to doing it. But we're talking our top five things we've noticed for the week. And as always, kick us off, Steve.
Well, the first thing I've noticed is, haven't the scores dried up? Bit of a high scoring in the first couple of weeks as usual, and teams have started to put the clamps on, and it's probably good for your midfielders. I've got to say, it's probably time to start looking to flick out those forwards who are smashing out the big scores at the start of the year, especially the keys, like our great mate Jesse Goat. I think he's still a great iron, but I don't think you can expect these guys to maintain the 110 average just with the goals drying up. It's certainly going to become more of a midfielder's game. We've just seen Jack Redden go 120-plus, especially the inside mids, and I don't think Jack Redden scored 120 total points for the year, so that's certainly something to take a look at. We know the grounds tend to slow up over the season, and especially between now and the bye rounds is when I'm looking to bring in a few of those contested midfielders who have maybe struggled a little. I think I mentioned JPK is the trade in last week, and he's just absolutely banged it out of the park. So I think that's a thing. GWS, they sort of look pretty open to experiment with their tools whilst lobs out, and there's sort of this weird ruck division setup. We've seen Tomlinson rotating with Jonathan Patton with the ruck forward role. I think they amassed four hitouts between them against Steph Martin and the Big O. So I think Rory Lobb's probably a good trade target. I can't imagine they're going to keep rolling with this setup. And it was pretty interesting. Ryan Griffin did move back into defence, so we know he's been playing forward for his first two matches back. So if you're looking for that DPP addition, he's not going to get that forward status if he's not playing there, you know, on a regular basis. So it's kind of hard to see with Griffin what they do, because he was certainly behind the ball this week. Jai Simpkin certainly got more run through the middle for North Melbourne with Higgins out. We know he's a high draft pick and a very talented player, so he's maybe someone I'm keeping an eye on for a redraft, but I think he's worth a flyer in your keeper leagues, especially just we know Sean Higgins and a couple of those guys floating through the midfield are getting a bit long in the tooth, and Simpkin seems someone, you know, he's got a lot of skills, a lot of class, so he might be someone they're looking to build through the midfield eventually. Defenders, they just continue to eat against the Tigers, man. We saw today Jeremy Howe knocked it out of the park, Jack Crisp, the Sharon Goat, even Lyndon Dunn for your Supercoach formats. It just continues to be a thing with the way they play. And just on the way they play, I mean, 1,438 Dream Team points as a team. They got outscored by about 300. I mean, it's just unbelievable how good they are as a team. But the game is just so unfantasy friendly. I wouldn't feel, you know, if they're going to win by 7 goals and hardly anyone's doing anything remotely near a ton, like that's hard to own. But what happens if things go sour and they start getting caught by teams? Like, I don't know. It's hard to own Tigers at the moment.
Thanks for that, Steve. And Statesman, what are the top five things you notice over the weekend?
Firstly, it's all about the role. Lachie Neale has been tremendous this year when we're talking about stats. But he hasn't been tremendous when we're talking about scoring. So his actual possession count is actually up an average of 3 possessions per game. But his marks are down, his goals are down, his tackles are down. But one thing changed this weekend. Michael Walters got injured. He's been playing that link-up role and the player receiving the marks. As soon as he went down, Lachie Neale was scoring very slowly. As soon as he went down, Lachie Neale took over that role, and all of a sudden, from averaging 3 tackles per game, he was up to 8. For averaging 3 marks per game this year, he actually took 8. Because he became the link-up player. So his role changed completely. So from averaging 96, he pumped out a 138 this weekend. So that's how clear it's all about roles. So you get the right role for your player, he's going to score the point. So that's one thing you've always got to look out for. What's your role? Right now, Lachie Neale, depending on what Walter's injury is in for a hot patch. No matter who the opposition is, if he's going to be that link-up player and do what he's previously done in the previous years, then he is going to be averaging pretty high for the next month or so, depending on how long the injury is. The second thing is the Bloods are back. Wonderful win against Geelong, but more importantly, some of the stars well and truly back for their owners. And JPK was just sensational after a couple of low weeks. They've got a good run coming up from round 6 onwards. It's freed up for them up until the bye. So have a look at your waiver options for Swans to cover your bench and actually give you some points for some risky ones on field. Thirdly, isn't it great to see the young talent? We've seen little Jack Higgins has been a breath of fresh air at Richmond. So we're glad to see a new name enter for the Gold Coast this weekend. And as I was impressed with his first up performance of 90 points for the young fella in a young bloke named Mickey Barlow. Was a little slow to get started, but by the second half looked like a seasoned veteran when he got some quality time in the midfield. Number 4 is whatever happened to Duggan. Archie's boy was the talk of the town during the pre-season, and he's averaging only in the high 50s. No offence, but it doesn't matter how deep your league is, he's just simply not a relevant fantasy player right now. And last but not least, Steve alluded to it, number 5, the big boys in the midfield have come out to play this weekend. Chalor, Mitchell both got 147, McRae 145, Neale's back in, JPK back in form, and obviously Maxi Gawn is just dominating the ruck as well. Fantastic to see so much big scores this weekend. Even Polak did magnificently well. He's had, of course, early in the season is the time of year for him, but performing very well with 150 this week. And that's my top 5.
Yeah, just on your Lachie Neale one as well, in terms of Supercoach, his disposal efficiency has been absolutely horrendous as well. So that's what's been affecting your score in that format. But he's up around the 80% today, so using it pretty well.
Yeah, and I think you'll find that he actually has been just the in and under. So his task and role has been inside and taking the quick kicks. So all of a sudden now, Michael Walters is out. He needs to play the link-up role. So therefore, his disposals are actually in more space. So therefore, you've got less pressure, more chance to get effective kicks. So look out for the owners of Lachie Neale. It's good times ahead.
And 5 playing deep forward helped as
of
well.
Of course.
My first one is, got to say, Luke Beveridge must listen to this podcast, because last week I gave him a bit of a bake saying the Bont, when you've got a big body midfielder, should be playing the guts when he's playing forward. They're up against the Blues on the weekend, and where did the Bont play? Pretty much went head-to-head with Paddy Cripps all night long. It was actually a pretty good matchup to watch. So, Bevo, thanks for listening and listening to my coaching idea, and please do it for the rest of the season, because I like the Bont in the mid, because I'm an owner of him in our home league, so keep pumping out those 140s.
Actually, it was interesting, Jones. I got a few questions during the week, which is the best mid to buy low on? And hopefully people listened, because the Bont was mentioned quite frequently.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you could throw in probably a dozen in there. Parker, JPK.
Oh, there was a few, but yeah,
he was the number one.
He was definitely mentioned a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, there's a lot of talk about handsome Tom Lynch and being out of contract and a lot of players with the war chest going after him. But good personality Tom Lynch is also out of contract at the end of the year. Who's worth more, gents? Is a good personality where he's that link-up player, takes the marks, kicking the inside 50, or is it the big, strong, key forward that, yeah, he's been in a poor team, but we know what he's all about in handsome Tom Lynch. Which way would you guys go?
Isn't this part of the kill, marry, bonk?
Not really. It's just
give me the guy who can take a contested mark, mate.
Yeah.
You take Tom Lynch, you take GP Tom, put him in a bad team, you see what happens.
Yeah, he won't be getting that same service out of that back line from
it's 80 from your
Rory Leds.
Well, I mean, they're actually a perfect team together.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's the actual answer, because if you can afford it, you take both. Because one's the lead-up player, so it actually creates the space. And if your midfield's got really good disposal, as it currently has at the moment, then it becomes a very effective lead-up forward. But he also creates and demands a defender to go with him. So he actually creates space for someone like the good-looking or the handsome Tom Lynch to be able to be one out, which is actually what you want him, because Tom Lynch is a remarkable mark one out. Mm. He is not so good when the disposal is poor and ends up being 2-1.
Handsome Tom gets a... The home road splits for Handsome Tom are very real as well. So I think he's going to be a great trade target after round 10.
It's like the tacos. Why not have both of them?
So you heard it first. Both Lynches are going to Richmond with the war chest next year. I didn't see the game, but Tommy Mack played his first game. Did he take the points off your boy Jesse Hogan, Steve? It seemed that way, what I saw just on the scores while I was out today.
Well, it's very hard to judge because we know Essendon is a really bad matchup for the key forwards. Plus, Jesse copped a couple of knocks during the game. So I'm not making a judgment on this particular match. Jesse's got 3+ matchups over the next 3 weeks. We'll judge then.
Okay, so just wait and see for then. And another one. You mentioned it before, Steve. The goal kicking has been absolutely horrendous, not just this round, but for the whole year, pretty much. Is it the skills and the players running up and down that cause this bad goal kicking, and then lessens the scores? And if so, do the AFL fantasy and Supercoach look to reward the goal kicker with more points? Maybe if that's the case with these low scores.
Oh, Jono, I've been saying it for years since we started the podcast that the way goals are treated in fantasy is absolutely farcical. Just blows my mind. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Mm. Yeah, just doing a bit of a stats. There's out of the... I didn't do today's games, but the 6 games beforehand, there was at least half a dozen of them where more points had been kicked than goals. So pretty interesting stat, that one. Moving on now to our waiver wire pickups, and when we are talking our waiver wire pickups, we use our ultimate footy 65% or less ownership. I'm going to kick it off this week with Mitch McGovern from the Adelaide Crows. We did see Tex get that ham bone awareness. He's actually been scoring pretty good. They've used him in both forward and defence, so he's getting the marks. And if Tex is there, Josh Jenkins is a useless forward, so Mitch McGovern, a very good contested mark, can get you a few snags. He's just in 46% of teams, so I'll be looking to snag Mitch McGovern this week. In a plus matchup, you've got Jaden Stephenson from the Collingwood. He's been pretty good this year off the rookie list in 50% of teams. He's playing the Lions, and we know what...
That's a good matchup,
yeah. Just wait, just let me finish. So even against a good team of the Crows, we saw him kick 5 goals when they gave him Pagan's Paddock. So if they do a similar tactic, he can get on the end of a few. Richie Douglas still there at 62% of teams. He's playing the Blues next week. We don't know anything about Sloan. He was there with Matt Crouch, but Douglas still was able to rack up the pill himself. We saw the midfielders with the Bulldogs score big as well, so expect Richie Douglas to continue to do the same. I'm also liking Oliver Florent. We know the big talls for Sydney are hurt and Sam Reed, and we don't know when the Bud Warner is going to be back. But he came up, kicked a few goals there, Ollie Florent. He can get you 15 to 20 possessions, lay a few tackles because his pressure's pretty good. So as a D5, you can get you, oh, sorry, F5, you can get you 80 to 85. I'd be pretty happy to snag him this week. And my last one, you've been banging on about him for a while, Stephen, watching him on Friday night. That's Zach Fisher. This kid is absolutely huge. Really liking what he's doing. Now up to 65% ownership, so getting just right there on the limit for him. And that's my top five.
Yeah, I think Stevenson was interesting. When you said it, I was just cringing a little bit there, Jono. But that's a good matchup. And he's also got the Bulldogs the week after, which isn't a terrible matchup for mid-forwards, believe it or not. Mine, I've got... I also have Zach Fisher. It's 65%. I got Darcy Byrne-Jones, 59% ownership. He was actually second in the team, second or third, sorry, for intercepts. Hamish Hartler's gone down with a knee. Looks like he's out for the year. I think Darcy Byrne-Jones is a really solid pickup. He had something like 22 pressure acts, so could be one for your super coach as well. I really like him. I know he's had a couple of lean weeks, but I suspect there might be some selection changes at Port Adelaide. He won't be one of them. Matt Kennedy, still only 52% owned from Carlton midfield. I know it's tough to find your mids at this time of year, but he's one I absolutely really like. Matty DeBoer. Jesus Christ.
Wow. He's still unders. I didn't even consider him. I thought he'd be over.
54% ownership.
Jeez.
Just dropping he's the 30, well. Just dropping the 35 touches. He's averaging like 85 over his last five matches. And they have...
Can I say this is not unusual for him too? He actually did it for quite a few years at Fremantle.
Yeah, it's just he's got the forward listing now as well, so that's really attractive. Toby Green, it looks like he's out for a while. Josh Kelly, we still
playing the Cats
know.
On Friday night, GWS.
Yes, not a great matchup. I'm not going to lie, but what can you say? He's scoring. He can tackle. So, I mean, you got to like
narrow ground. There are going to be plenty of tackles on offer there at GMHBA Stadium.
Yeah, so you got to like the way he's building his score. We've got Lin Jong, still only owned in 60% of teams. Not a great game on the weekend, but he was certainly around the ball the whole match. Tom Boyd, 51% owned as a ruck. They're playing...
Gold Coast.
Yeah, Gold Coast and then Brisbane. So, yibbida-yibbida. Don't mind that. And lastly, Harry Morrison. We've been pretty hot on him since the preseason. Was a sleeper, getting some play. Scored pretty nicely on the weekend. 38% ownership. Defender. So I certainly like that that option as well.
Very good. And what have you got there, Statesman, as your waiver wire pickups?
Yeah, just the one to add on, which is young Thomas Cole for the West Coast Eagles. Currently only owned by 16% of teams. He's a quality halfback flanker, playing his third season. He's solid form in the waffle. Should continue. He's had two games now, a 76 and an 80 for an average of 78. And I think he'll continue that way. They'll be playing home this weekend against Port Adelaide. So that's a pretty good matchup because he's only going to get on the half forward line. Motlop, Watts or Rockcliffe as their opponents, and they're all playing shock and footy, so he'll be way too quick for them and get plenty of the footy.
Yeah, and absolutely. Forgot what I was going to say. If you are enjoying the pod, you can check us out on iTunes, Stitcher and SoundCloud. If you've got a couple of minutes, hit the 5-star rating button there and leave us a review. We really appreciate it. Moving on now to our trade target for the week. Steve, what have you got there, mate?
Jack Billings. Good players go through slumps. That's fine. I've got no beef with it. You are buying... At the same time last year, I saw it tweeted out. It was actually averaging worse at this point last year. So, like, things can turn around. I know it looks horrible, but just you're back in some class. I really believe you're going to get him for absolute peanuts at the moment. I also think Taylor Adams is a really, really good buy, sort of out of sight, out of mind. His average is kind of crap. Mm. He's coming back. We look at the way the mids are scoring. Look at the way. It's their time to shine. I really think Taylor Adams is a great buy as well. And the sell, it hurts me. It really, really hurts me to say this. But I reckon you can flip him for a really good deal. The seed, it is time to go.
Oh.
Okay, they're about to, their schedule gets tougher.
Captain Risky.
Yeah, no, look, it sort of worked, but the schedule's about to get tougher. The midfielders are coming back. They've moved Malira to halfback. I just think it's... And he's got... Look, the injury history just is hard to ignore. I really think it's... if you can get the right deal. I've got no problems if you don't want to sell and keep him because he's scoring well, but I can just see the possessions drying up. As I said, the grounds will slow down. Teams are getting defensive. Might just be a good time to start asking a few questions on some if you're lacking elsewhere.
Yeah.
Let's chat, buddy.
Live on air trade. There we go. And to finish it off for the week, we have the Statesman skipper. Who have you got there?
So obviously we quickly discussed the loophole option. I should quickly mention while we're at it, speaking about our keeper, obviously you guys know that I was sitting in last position starting for this weekend, but I was up against the second place team and I've given young Paddy a whack, God bless him, but I just wanted to point out that I tried everything I could to lose this game. I had James Aish, who obviously got injured with 34. I had Trent Dumont, the most powerful midfielder of my team, scoring a massive 54. And Brandon Partiff, who I actually gave an absolute rap on the fantasy hour, pumping up his tyres, was actually one of the 13 laid outs for Geelong, which actually seems to be a historical thing. So if you've got a Geelong player on your team, make sure you've got an active bench player, because you cannot guarantee who's going to be pulled out each and every week. But they seem to be doing it quite regularly. It just seems to be part of the game plan. Make sure that our team changes before we actually start playing. So speaking of Geelong for the loophole, I will say that if Mitch Duncan plays and not a late out, there's a fair chance that he'll score very well this weekend. But the captain risky for the loophole is our man, we've talked a lot about him over the years, is Dids. He is our captain risky, gents, for Friday night's game. What great form he has been in. I will say only 12 months late, too late for the Statesman, but that's beside the point. Deledio is in magnificent form. And look, part of this may be, and we're talking about roles and the man of seed may lose his actual midfield role with the mids coming back, is I wonder when Kelly comes back, do we actually see Dids actually going back to a pretty simple role that is going to reduce his scoring? But while he's scoring so well and has got the role, you might as well make use of it because he's been in magnificent form. So our captain risky for the week, Paul Seedsman was last weekend with 116. But we're going to stay with the Crows. If you've got him, put the big C on him because this is worthwhile. The Crows are actually playing host to Carlton, and I think it's good personality Tom who will shine as the number one forward. I think he'll have a 6-goal game and 120 plus points coming up for good personality Tom.
Yeah, just on the Deludio one, they've got Tom Scully out as well, so we know he's got a pretty good tank lead, so I don't see his score getting too affected when Kelly does come back in, to be honest. I don't mind that at all. And
I actually think the guy who's going to be affected is Taranto.
Mm.
Correct.
But, yeah, we have seen good personality kick 10 snags before, so can't see why he can't kick 6. All right, that wraps up the show for this week. Thank you very much for listening. If you want to follow us on social media, you can do that by checking us out on Twitter, where we are at The Draft Doctors and at Statesman33. Check out the Facebook, search The Draft Doctors there, and the website, thedraftdoctors.com.au. We've got articles dropping Monday to Friday. We've got the merch up there now, so grab yourself a T-shirt and get the product out there.
That Monday article is just... hot fire. I got to be honest, boys. That injury article is takes no prisoners.
None whatsoever.
And I will say that writing's put me to absolute shame.
It's put us all to shame.
They're doing a fantastic job. Fantastic job. Thanks, boys. Good luck, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.